Taking life for granted is my theme this morning, and my text is James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. So, taking life for granted, James 4, 13 to 17 begins. Now, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That's our text, and our theme is taking life for granted. Over the years, as I've met people, I have noticed one thing, and I'm sure I've done it myself too, is there's an unspoken rule, not universal, but very, very popular, and it simply says this: I only consult the Lord when. And for often for people, they only consult the Lord when plans haven't worked out. Or they have landed themselves in a heap of trouble. And for the most part, though, many people don't feel the need to consult him at the planning stage. As far as they're concerned, that's their responsibility. And truthfully, though not many will admit this, you know, if you ask him and he says no, then you're in a big trouble. So the kind of pertaining wisdom is, you plan and then you just seek the Lord's blessing as you move along. And it's only in dire need, when the thing has blown up, that do we actually go after him and say, Lord, 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 help. So that's one of the things that I have discovered down through the years as I have met people. Usually when I meet him, often the damage is done. And we're trying to find a way of remedy it or repair it in some way. And sometimes the Lord is merciful enough, and certain amount can be redeemed. Other times, there's a high price to pay for it. Anyway, that being said, James here is addressing rich Christians in this passage, and he's taking them to task, really, primarily over this attitude of taking life for granted. And he begins in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Now that's very, very popular concept out there, and we meet people who are very ambitious, who are focused, have a strategy, have a plan, and in some cases it can be a 5-year plan, and all of that, and they're go-getters, and sometimes behind all of that is an attitude, and I think ultimately it's the attitude that goes behind that James is getting at here, but he's speaking to Christian people. And what he's challenging with is simply this. It's an attitude, first of all, is I'm in control. And that can be very much as prominent in Christians as versus non-Christians. I'm in control here. One of the reasons why people don't consult the Lord even. Another reason why people do and say that is simply this, is there is a presumption. An underlying presumption, well, I'll be here tomorrow, you know. For the most part, people only die when they're old. And I'm relatively young. Well, I can't speak for myself now, but you know what I mean. People make the assumption, the underlying assumption and presumption that all things being equal, to be there tomorrow. But this, behind all of this, is this attitude of boasting. And the world applauds that because it's seen as confident, it's seen it as a go-getter, as somebody who gets things done, and all of that. As best I can understand it, it's that attitude that James is after. But behind all of that is taking life for granted. Now moving on, taking life for granted. What's wrong with that from a Christian perspective? Well, James, I have three things that I think James points out to us. The first thing is simply this: clueless. He says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. We're actually clueless about anything that can happen in the future. For instance, none of us knew that we had been locked in for, a good length of time because of COVID. None of us were able to predict that. None of us saw it coming, and all of a sudden, it was on top of us. We're absolutely clueless as to you can be fine today, and tomorrow things, or even tonight, things can go radically wrong. So we're actually clueless about the future in terms of what can really happen. That's one of the reasons. He says, what's your life? Next reason is there is an uncertainty built into life. While we may plan and assume or presume that it will work out, life is uncertain at best of times. Now, the one thing that most people found difficult during COVID that was, I felt that it wasn't divisive, actually, was the uncertainty of it. How long is it going to last for? And all that, if people knew that there was an end date, they could plan accordingly and get on with it. But the uncertainty of it is a killer. And here's James talking in the second part of the verse. What is your life? And the answer is, it is uncertain. Though we don't think that way, and we live and as if we will have tomorrow and we'll have more time depending on where you are on your age bracket. Although in my case, I have more time spent than I have yet to live. That's the truth. So there's clueless, there's uncertainty. And then the last part there, he said, you're a mess that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And at best, life is short, so you're dealing with brevity. So what's wrong with taking life for granted? He's saying you're clueless because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's uncertainty. What's your life? And there's brevity. And I suppose for the most part, we don't think that way because for many reasons, who wants to deal with uncertainty or brevity or cluelessness? We want to have that sense of that we're in control. We know what we're doing. We know where we're going, etc., etc. And we have a plan while there's life left within us. That seems to be what he's after, as best I understand it. Although there'll be more to come in a minute. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. So he's now going to address what we should do as people of God. And he said, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now remember, it's the attitude behind it, and the attitude he's after is presumption and boasting. And what he's saying here in verse 15 is not so much the words convey something that's really important. Let me put it up here on the screen for us. It conveys the idea of humble dependence. He said, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And what he's trying to say really is, we are not in control. Life is short. And life is incredibly uncertain. And the only one that really has the full blueprint and knows exactly what tomorrow brings is the Lord. So what he's trying to get people to do, in this case as rich Christians, is to have a mindset of where there was a certain amount of humble dependence. I'm not actually in control of tomorrow because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Therefore, I'm not really in a position to boast about it. So That's quite challenging because that is not the way we might say the words, Lord willing, we'll do this. But it's the attitude of we're not in control. And that's deeply unsettling. It was very unsettling for many people, Christian included, during the COVID era. And if we have to learn anything, I think we were to learn that we weren't in control and there was meant to be a humble dependence on the things of the Lord. It didn't work out that way, by the way. So taking life for granted, what's wrong with that? And he addresses this then in verse 16. He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. You know, he says, we'll go to this city or that city, stay there for a year, and we'll make amends, so to speak. And he's challenging, he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. Now the world applauds it and is seen as confident and is seen as good strategy indeed. If you haven't got a five-year plan, you're not going to get financed by anyone. We understand that. But here he is talking to Christian people about that attitude. I am a go-getter. I get things done. I'm in control. I know how to do this. And he's saying, such boasting is evil. See, I think the problem is not in the planning. I think the problem is with the attitude of boasting. I don't think there's anything wrong with planning, saying, Lord, this is the best I can come up with, and all things being equal, that I'll have life, then by your grace, I'm going to do this. Can you see then about humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, or only by grace? It's a whole different attitude then. And yet, boasting and having that air of confidence and superiority is applauded in the world system. And what James is saying here is actually, all such boasting is actually evil. Now, you may choose to disagree with James, but under the inspiration of Scripture that's and led by the Spirit of God, that is his diagnosis of the situation. In the situation, claiming to be in control, ignoring that only God knows what's really going to happen. All of that and all that boasting, that there's an evil intent in it, or there's evil in the attitude. So taking life for granted, know what? I know I'm cruising along here fairly quickly, but that's okay. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So what he's saying here, as best I can understand it, is there is an application to be done with this. And if it is not done, then it remains sin. And I think what he's actually saying, as best I come up with this, is ongoing boasting is deliberate sinning. Nothing wrong with the planning. Once one acknowledges the fact that there's humble dependence on God and that we're ultimately not in control, that life is uncertain and life is short, and that in itself should produce within us a humble attitude. If the Lord continues to give me breath in my body and gives me the health to do, then by His grace, this is what I'm planning to do. That's complete the opposite of boasting, is actually shown and demonstration by our attitude, and that there's a humble dependence on where we stand in life in relation to the Lord. So, I hadn't seen that before, but ongoing boasting is actually deliberate sinning. And that's what he's saying. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do, and that's the humble dependence upon the Lord, and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So I have a question for us. Often when we are at meeting people, or if you're at, something that's, a dinner party, for the want of a better term, or something like that, and people will always ask you, what exciting plans do you have coming up? No, that'll be a question that'll be asked for Christmas. That's it as well, How do you answer that question? in light of just what we have looked at and looked at briefly, what exciting plans do you have coming up? Or they might ask you, what are you planning up for Christmas? If we take James's words seriously, and this is our attitude behind the words, then we'll answer something like this. Well, if the Lord wills, I plan to. Let me close with a question. Who ultimately is in charge of your tomorrow? If I am convinced that I'm in charge myself, then boasting is going to come quite natural to me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. If I'm aware of the fact that I'm not actually in charge, and ultimately the Lord holds all the cards, the length of my life, and the breath that's in my body, all of that is at His disposal. So I can say then, if the Lord's will, if the Lord wills, I'm planning to do this. Lord willing. That portrays an attitude of humble dependence upon the Lord. The attitude of boasting, arrogance, and presumption is actually wrong. And what James is saying, that is actually sinful. Humble dependence upon the Lord shows an attitude of being humble and being dependent. Hence the reason the song, Humble Thyself in the Presence of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher and higher. That's the only words that were in the song. But that's the key to applying James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Lord, we come before you and say, Lord, who among us haven't boasted at times or bragged, Lord, at least? The truth is, Lord, we do not own our next breath. So, Lord, help us, Lord, with our attitude, because ultimately, Lord, we are completely dependent upon you, whether we acknowledge it or not, Lord, for our next breath. To have life in our body for tomorrow morning. And so, Lord, not to acknowledge that, Lord, is obviously wrong. So, Lord, as we move forward, Lord, you do want us to plan and make things and bring them before you, Lord. You have given us that. So, Lord, the problem is not in the planning. The problem, Lord, is in the attitude that goes behind it. So, Lord, help us to include you in. And acknowledge, Lord, you in every stage of it. And then, Lord, as we try to execute that down the road, we're humbly dependent upon you and Lord to give us the breath and that ultimately to acknowledge your sovereignty in all situations. Lord, in order to do that, Lord, we have to let go a certain amount of control. Or we may have to rethink this thing of presumption a bit, Lord. And Lord, may we have to include you much more and realize for ourselves, Lord, that how dependent we ultimately are upon you and upon your goodness day by day. Lord, help us, Lord, to have that attitude that honors that. For the sake of Jesus, we pray. Amen.